Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time with Bob, Dave, and Moore. If you guys have questions for John, you can text him in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So, Le'Veon Bell has found a home already with the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think of that move?
I mean, I shake my head. It's like... I wish I could get into, well, maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to get into the head of Le'Veon Bell because he might end up being perhaps the worst business person we've seen as a negotiator. Because, I mean, okay, so fine. He goes there and he has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Wonderful. But what's he going to do? You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the best back coming out of college this year in a fit with Kansas City. He's going to be the one that's going to be out there. So all you're basically doing if you're Le'Veon Bell is kind of like he did the year he sat out and didn't play football, losing $14.55 million. Just sit there and not do anything. Because he'll get on the field. He can help out. If they need him in a pinch in an emergency, they can. But Clyde Helaire is sensational. And so... I just shake your head. It's like the talk here would be, okay, will Earl Thomas come back to Seattle? It's like, no, he doesn't want to come back to be a backup. But here's Le'Veon Bell, you know, coming over and accepting he's going to be a backup. I don't get it, you know, because he's going to make the whole $8.5 million base guarantee that that was negotiated for him. And so he's going to be paid and paid well. So I'm sure what he did is that he got the minimum salary. We don't know the contract yet, but that would be my guess. He got the minimum salary. And so now where does that go with him? It's like you go to the Chiefs and you're not going to play.
Well, and the one thing I read, John, and you can tell me if this is accurate or not, because I haven't watched a bunch of Chiefs football, is that while Helaire has been great, he's had trouble at the goal line, apparently getting stuffed, and maybe they bring Le'Veon Bell in for goal line situations.
Could be, yeah. I mean... You know, again, Le'Veon's still a talented back. He doesn't look as good as he did, say, 3 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever. I mean, he is 28. You know, he did have the hamstring injury and everything else. And so, you know, that might be the option to do it. But again, it's like how much more work is that going to get him than Marshawn Lynch got last year when he came out of retirement to help this team in goal line and short yarded situations?
John, I know he's a bad businessman, but what about a teammate? I'm trying to refresh my memory. Yeah. Do we lump him in with Antonio Brown, or is he...
Not as bad as Antonio Brown, because you know, his mistakes are self-inflicted, where Antonio has done damage to other people.
Yeah, you know, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and you know, because you can say, okay... He's been, I think, suspended one or two times for, you know, driving around with marijuana in his car. I know one time he did because he got caught and he had to serve a little bit of a suspension there. But that's a self-inflicted wound. That's not causing damage to anybody else. And so I wouldn't put him in the category of Antonio Brown like that. But again, as a business person, and again, here's a guy that he comes back and, you know, he loses $14.5 million. He negotiates a deal with a team that's bad and doesn't really want him. I know the general manager didn't want him, but then they didn't want the general manager, so they let him go. He has 3.2 yards a carry because the offensive line didn't do a good job, and it's a bad football team. And so I thought his better shot would be to go to Buffalo because he could help Buffalo get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that could be a great fit. And why he would pick Miami as a third candidate over, say, Chicago, where Chicago could really use him and be, you know, they might even give him a contract extension. But I just shake my head because from the business aspect, what he does doesn't make any sense. But right now, he's made enough sense to at least get through the season at $8.5 million.
Mike Tomlin's a saint.
Oh, yeah.
Putting up with him and Antonio Brown at the same time.
Mm-hmm,
and then,
mm-hmm.
I guess... Roethlisberger was a bit of a clown early on. He's
big
since,
time, yeah.
Since repaired, so yeah.
Love Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean you can see that you know, he, even though sometimes he gets criticized, well, the last couple of years he's been criticized, but players like playing for him, they respect him, and he knows how to not only deal with problems but hide problems.
Well, John, speaking of Mike Tomlin, his team faces the Browns this week. They're favored by 3. The Myles Garrett first game since that incident last year. How do you see that whole thing playing out?
I think it could be very tense because, you know, these two teams don't like each other. The Garrett thing is bringing out even more anger. And the only thing that's going to be preventing some fights is the fact it's going to be so heavily officiated that, you know, the slight inference of something happening is probably going to get ejections going like crazy. So I'm sure both coaches, and of course, you know, Kevin Stefanski, you know, he's not into the rivalry. Mike Tomlin is, but Mike Tomlin's going to try to calm everybody down. You know, I think Kevin can be a pretty positive influence, but again, you know, it's going to be very negative. The game's in Pittsburgh. The game, you know, if there's going to be a few fans there, they're going to be booing like crazy. And you know that there's not going to be anything that Myles Garrett does that irritates a Steeler player is going to have ramifications.
John, I was asking Dave before the show, are there unwritten rules in football? And he said, well, no. Why are you asking? And I was talking about the story here. The Ravens defensive coordinator, Don Wink Martindale, was upset that the Bengals decided to kick a late field goal to avoid a shutout, so they lost 27-3. And he was asked, for his reaction to the whole thing. Martindale said, quote, "He knew what it was because it was awfully quiet when I yelled across the field." He says, "We'll see. We'll have plenty to talk about the next time we play them."
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is he talking about? What does he care if they kick a field goal? He wanted the shutout.
Well, now, then stop. That's lame, kicking a field goal at the end of the game.
No, it's not. No, I
yes,
don't.
Yes, it is. When you're down 27-0 with 37 seconds to go, what's the point of kicking a field goal?
Maybe you get your kicker some work. You build up his confidence. You work on the snap. What do you care? What do you care if they kick a field goal? You still waxed them 27-3.
That's stupid when a team does that.
Then stop them. Get them out of field goal range.
They brought the kicker out. Sorry, John, I'm interrupting your segment here.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking it's like, maybe it affected the over-under. I don't know if the over-under was like 29.
No, I wasn't thinking in those terms.
I think it's lame that he got mad. If you're in charge of the defense, then keep him out of field goal range. What do you care? Your objective is to win the game. They kick a field goal. I don't know why. They want to work on something. They don't want to suffer the indignity of a shutout. Whatever. Who cares?
Well, I don't mind that he's mad. I mind that we all heard about it. Because what he should do is next time they play the Cincinnati Bengals, say, these punks, you know, and use it as motivation. Don't air it out in the media. But, I mean, if I'm an offensive coordinator at the end of the game and it's that situation, I'm trying to huck it into the end zone.
Yeah.
But anyway, to come out in the media and everything and say it.
We like it because again we get to find out where the real feelings are.
And now we're talking about it, and we have something to talk about.
But that goes to the point you're talking about. How's that going to be with Myles Garrett going back to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers? Okay, this is the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens in the same division. That's this division. There's a lot of hatred. I mean, you saw when San Francisco was at its prime with Jim Harbaugh, you know, how nasty it could have been and was with San Francisco going against Seattle. Well, guess what? It's kind of worse in the AFC North, and you can see that the Bengals aren't very good right now, but with Joe Burrow, they'll eventually be pretty good. And to have Wink Martindale yelling across the field saying, "I'm going to get you the next time."
Lame.
It's maybe lame, but again, that's the way the division is.
If the goal is to avoid the shutout, then what do they care if it's a field goal or a touchdown? Would you still been mad if they would have chucked it in the end zone, scored a touchdown?
No.
Why?
Because
game's over.
Yeah, but at least they tried to score a point and tried not to avoid a touchdown. But again, you're trying to come back, even though you know you're not going to be able to do it. It's not like they're going to take a knee when you're down 27-0 with 37 seconds left.
Right. So the touchdown would matter as much as a field goal in that situation. It's just avoiding the shutout.
Yeah, you know, he would have turned around and started yelling at the cornerback who just got beat.
And that I could live with. That would make sense as a defensive coach. But the idea of being mad at the opposition because they kicked the field goal for whatever their reasons are, they still got whacked. So why do they care? You didn't win 27-0. You won by 24. That wasn't good enough?
That's the division. I'm telling you. It's like
Bob's on this one like a dog on a bone.
Go cry.
You're not going to get him off it.
If you're going to cry about it, then make sure your defense doesn't let him get into field goal range.
They held him to 3 points.
Bunch of babies.
Wow.
I'm completely on the opposite one of that, Bob. I'm surprised that you're so outraged by that.
Am I categorized as in the middle?
I guess.
I do think that you huck it into the end zone.
But if they score a touchdown, it's
kind of lame to kick a field goal. But don't complain about it. Just, you know, use it as motivation later. So kind of on both your side. Hey, Nick Shook wrote, and, you know, I saw NFL Deep Threats, NFL.com. I'm like, okay, we're going to get screwed. And then I open it up. They have DK Metcalf number one.
How about that?
Yeah. And then here's what I'll make a little case here. Jim's going to laugh at this one. You look at the other deep threats, Michael Gallup, Dallas Cowboys, number two. Calvin Ridley, Atlanta Falcons, number three. Number four is Henry Ruggs. Haven't faced him. Number five, Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings. So three of the top five are receivers that have the Seahawks have had to go against, but you could also make the case that they're there because they played the Seahawks. Am I right, Jim?
Well, wait a second. It's like Gallup would be the only one, correct?
What do you mean?
That they've gone against the Seahawks this year.
No, Gallup is the Cowboys, but Calvin Ridley from the Falcons.
Oh, okay, yeah, Ridley's good, yeah.
And then Justin Jefferson, the rookie from Minnesota.
Could be.
They're good players, right?
Saying something, sure.
Yeah, how about this Chase Claypool guy? You're in Pittsburgh. What do you have, four touchdown passes,
110 yards, eight catches.
Yeah, were they expecting this out of him?
What you're looking at, because I know when the draft choice was made, I heard nothing but good things. And that's not just from Irish Mankey, because he went to Notre Dame, but because he like DK Metcalf is one of those big receivers, and I think you can see if you have a big receiver that has some speed and get downfield, he can do a lot of damage. And so that's exactly what Claypool is. And of course, I thought that he probably should have gone higher, but one of the reasons he didn't go as high, this was without. I think most people now consider this to be the best wide receiver draft maybe in NFL history. Because you had, 25 guys, I think, taken in the first three rounds or something like that. And
Claypool was second round, right?
Yeah. But there was 25 guys that had grades third round or higher. And then you see the way they're coming out on the field. I mean, the top three, and everybody, that you have different choices on that, but the top three were Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Ruggs. And you can take the pick, and all of them look like they should be right up there where they were. Then you have Jefferson coming on. Mm-hmm. You have others that have come on. And, of course, now you got Claypool, and he was kind of the sleeper in the group, but he's awake right now.
Boy, John, sad news keeps coming for the Falcons here. I see that their ESPN NFL reporter who covered the Falcons, he died today at the age of 48.
Vaughn McClure.
So good
friend.
Our condolences to him. He sounded like he's a really well-respected guy. And then there was another positive COVID test that closed the Falcons facility. I'm not sure about, does this put their game against Minnesota in jeopardy?
No, it's not that bad. It turned out to be a coach. It wasn't a player. I mean, they got a player earlier in the week, Marlon Davidson, who was a draft choice defensive tackle. So he went on the COVID list. But the league did not mandate that they close the facility because it was just one test and everybody else came out negative. And so it was the team, because they could, if they wanted to, they could have come back on the field at 2:30 today. But they said, no, just let's stay remote right now and let's not come into the office. And so they'll be going tomorrow. So unless there's another couple positive tests, and it was funny because I think Adam Schefter reported that there were four, and that turned out to be wrong because it just turned out to be one, and it was a coach. We don't know which coach, but it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, and the game is all right now looking to go on.
Hey, John, I'm reading that Jadeveon Clowney missed Thursday's workout with a non-COVID illness, and he also was listed with a knee injury that kept him out Wednesday. So things not going great for him. What's the impression of him been there?
I don't think they're underwhelmed. I mean, again, he came out like he did here pretty strong once he got on the field in the first couple games, and then it's kind of slowed down a little bit. And, again, maybe that's the byproduct of not having a training camp because he didn't have a training camp last year. But I guess the concerning thing is that, because I know he was, I think, in the top six or seven for pressures in the first couple games. Again, not the sacks, but then he doesn't get sacks. So I think they're satisfied with him. At least they're satisfied enough that they trade Camilla Correa today, who was a linebacker that kind of got displaced by bringing in Vic Beasley and then bringing in Clowney. But, say what you want. It's like they're 4-0.
John, I'm looking at the top passers. Russell Wilson tied for second with Deshaun Watson as far as yards per attempt. But, I'm just going through and looking. And my eyes always go to the interception total. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, 13-0. And then the next closest one is Derek Carr. 11 touchdowns, only one interception this year. They got to be pretty happy with him in Las Vegas.
Today, John Gruden is, particularly coming off the win over Kansas City last week, and times he can be not happy, but I think so far in the five games, he's been more happy than unhappy. And
I'm guessing he's not cursing at him this year, John.
Well, not this week, because they're on a bye week. So,
oh. It's like
so let's put it this way. He's not going to call him up on the phone and start cursing
him. Text him, maybe.
Yeah, maybe send a text or something like that, maybe an email or send something out there, just kind of send a curse word. But no, it's like he's off to a good start. And, you know, say what you want. I mean, yeah, they loaded up and got Byron Edwards. Looks like he's going to be a pretty good young receiver in the draft, and they were able to get Ruggs. But, you know, both those guys have had injuries, and he's been able to kind of fight around that and be able to get the yards and get the touchdowns and not throw the picks.
Okay, John, the Seahawks are 32nd and last in total defense, but they're going to get some help. They got Jamal Adams coming back. They've got Jordan Brooks. They should have a healthier Quentin Dunbar, and they'll have Snacks Harrison. Professor, do you think they can get up to 25th, 23rd, 20th, 18th? What's the ceiling with the personnel they have right now?
I think it can, you know, maybe more 25th or 24th. But, you know, you still look at the fact that they do have some games that can really help them out, particularly in the non-division games. Now, again, the division games are going to be tough. But, you know, other than, you know, facing, the Buffalo Bills, you know, they got four non-division games and they can do well. Now, I was looking at one of the stats this morning. You know, you look at the Rams defense being better than we all thought, because, again, other than their top three defensive players, you don't know the names of those guys. But then what you look at is, okay, they caught Dallas and they kept them to, you know, in the teens as far as points. That was good. But then the other three teams that they beat in the NFC East for yardage, 30th, 31st, and 32nd. And those teams right now are the teams that Seattle gets to face the rest of the season. And then they also have games against the Washington Redskins and also the New York Giants. So there's five games there that they may not get beat up too bad with the stats.
That's the Washington football team.
Washington
John.
Football
Come on,
team.
Man.
I'm sorry. My bad. Sorry.
Hey, 509 wants to know, John, which player is more likely a long-term Seahawk, Griffin or Dunbar?
I'd say Griffin. Because, you know, he's the homegrown. I think he means a lot in the locker room. I mean, he kind of gives you two players because, you know, his brother, Shaquem Griffin, I think will stay here probably as long as Shaq Griffin stays here. And it's kind of a two-for-one thing. And you got a cornerback who's been to the Pro Bowl. You got a linebacker who can run and maybe help rush the passer a little bit. So I just think it's, you know, in the locker room sense. And, again, Quentin still has to prove himself. I mean, he did some good things in the limited time that he's played, not actually made in the first game that he played, but he did some good things there. I'd say right now the odds favor Griffin.
I'm sorry. Did somebody ask about Penny?
No.
I don't want to. Rashad Penny, John.
Yeah.
Any news on him? And then expectations, like how do you see him working in? Because we were talking earlier about DJ Dallas, you know, and, of course, we kind of forgot about Carlos Hyde. I haven't talked about him in a while. So how do you think he is going to end up working in?
I think he's going to go well. I mean, I can run down the street and say go ask him, because he's only like about eight houses.
All right,
away
well, don't me. Pull a hamstring yourself.
No.
Then you'll end up on the.
Well, I mean, if I run the eight houses, it'll probably take me 10 minutes. How slow I am. But you know, I think that everything sounds like it's going pretty good. And I my guess would be they would slowly work him back, because, you know, this was an ACL injury. And I think they wanted him to get the confidence and all that stuff. So when they come out of the box, it'll be, you know, Chris Carson, obviously the starter. Carlos Hyde come out of the bye week and be the backup, because he's now had 3 weeks to recover from the shoulder. And, of course, I guess the one thing they're cautious on with the shoulder is that he came here with shoulder problems. And so I think that extra cautious. And, you know, you can see Pete Carroll and other coaches, you know, looking at bye weeks and saying, you know what, I'm not going to risk putting a guy out there when I have a bye week and buy him an extra week, particularly when, you know, right around the corner of the bye week, you have three out of four division games coming up. So I think they did it the smart way. And so, but it looks like it'll be Carlos, and then Travis then will have to move back to be number four. And then DJ is, you know, have to unfortunately probably be inactive.
Hey, John, it was always fun when I used to watch the WWE, and they had a match, and I forget what they called it, when they'd have a bunch of guys in the ring, and then the last guy who was still in the ring was declared the winner, and everybody else would be getting thrown out over
Bull
the
in
top
the ring?
Rope. What is it?
Bull in the ring?
No.
We said that was a football thing.
Yeah, but it was something like that. But what I'm getting at is that if you put the Packers, Seahawks, and Rams into that ring, John, which is the last team you think would still be in the middle of the ring at the end of the night?
I think it would be the Seahawks because I think they can be feisty enough. Certainly, as great as it is for Aaron Rodgers and the great career that he's had, you know, Russell Wilson is past him right now. And, you know, for defense, I mean, well, I guess – The one guy in the ring that may top all three could be Aaron Donald.
I was going to say, you know, he would be the last guy left in there. He would Aaron Donald would kick his own team and
everybody
other team out of
there. Yeah, good point. It's like, so it's like, you know, for the team standpoint, it would be it. But Aaron Donald, he's going to be the last guy out of the room. It's funny because I remember John Gruden saying this to me once. It's like, because, you know, Golden Tate was such a feisty player, you know, a guy that I compared to Hines Ward. And I know one time Gruden says, yeah, that Hines Ward, that Hines Ward, I want to see him out there in the room. And he goes fights, and the last man out, well, he'll go against Anquan Boldin, and the last guy that comes out alive will be the winner. And I don't know who's going to win that one, but that's going to be a great battle between those two.
That's your John Gruden right
there?
That's
my John Gruden.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, it's Royal Rumble.
Although I didn't swear, I didn't get in trouble by swearing.
That's true. There you go. That's a good one. Hey, quickly, John, seeing rumors that Matt Ryan could end up in San Francisco, are they? We talked about Ryan and the lack of commitment from Arthur Blank, not calling him the Falcon for life. Are they bailing on Jimmy Garoppolo out there, or what's the feeling?
No, I think it's an overreaction. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things where people are kind of jumping on a bad – Seattle's going to get Antonio Brown, and they're going to – it's like, no, because first off, think about the idea. You got $27.5 million quarterback in Garoppolo, right? And you got cap issues. Mm-hmm. And next year, if you make a deal like that for Matt Ryan, how are you going to clear the cap at $175 million when your left tackle, Trent Williams, is up, your top four cornerbacks are up, you've got, you already know you're going to have to let Dee Ford go, Kwame Alexander go, two offensive linemen go, and then you don't have Kyle Juszczyk signed, and they've got about 20 free agents. I can't see him doing it because they're going to have to lose more talent than gain. And if you're going to have two quarterbacks making that kind of money, it just doesn't work.
John, good stuff. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. All right, should Seahawks fans be rooting for the 49ers this weekend? I feel dirty for even saying that. And it's certainly easier said than done, but we'll tell you what we're talking about. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder that you've got radios in your homes if you've got a smart speaker. Just tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. Becomes a radio right there for you. Hey, Jim, everybody texting in saying Royal Rumble. Is that what you
Royal
were thinking of?
Royal Rumble. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Boy, okay. I miss those days of watching WWE when my kids were little. It was fun. I watched a little bit of it because I think it's on Fox now, and I'm trying to get back into it, but those were good times.
Who were some of the heroes or the guys you rooted for or the kids or whatever?
Oh, I really like John Cena. We were able to meet him one time when he wrote a book, and the kids got to see him. And I
you remember
Randy Orton was fun, and of course the Undertaker. The Undertaker, his entrance is the best thing ever.
Yeah, and then he was crazy looking. But admit, what about Triple H? Was that?
Yeah, Triple H.
Is that a guy?
Sounds familiar. I'm not a wrestling fan.
Shawn Michaels. So. Yeah, so, I just it was so much fun.
I saw Triple H at the airport one time, and I went up to him, and there was other people around him. I go, "Are you guys wrestlers?" And they're like, yeah. And I go, do you know Draws, Darren Drozdoff? And you remember the Draws? He ended up getting paralyzed doing a stunt. But,
Did they know him?
He was a nose guard for the Broncos.
Oh, okay.
He was the guy that had to go to a therapist so he wouldn't throw up on the field.
Oh.
And that's one of the reasons why I guess he went into Vince McMahon's office and threw up. That he goes, can you do that on command? And he's like, sure. And he went over and puked in the garbage can.
Oh, God. What a cool skill.
Yeah.
And Triple H is married to Vince McMahon's daughter.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, in real life.
I marvel at how popular wrestlers are. It is. I'm not a wrestling fan, so I don't follow it. I know who some of them are. When I lived in L.A., and we'll get to the Seahawks thing here in a second, I worked out at Gold's Gym down by Venice Beach, and that's where all the actors, I mean, you know, Ted Danson's in there, and the Wayans brothers, you'd see all these different actors, and then I saw Cena in there all the time. I saw Hulk Hogan in there. I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin in there, and the only guy, everybody would be left alone. Nobody would approach the actors. It was just like they were another person. The only person I ever saw get approached was Hulk Hogan, a wrestler. People coming up, tapping him, hey, can I get a picture or whatever. His daughter's in there working at Brooke Hogan. It was like a star-studded event that everybody left alone except for a wrestler.
Well, you know what I get a kick out of is that people will complain about, wrestling, it's fake. You know, they're just faking it. Yeah, well, so what? That's what movies and TV shows are, too. I mean, all those actors are faking who they are. So,
except
you know,
that it's
I
a live it. Sporting event, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess it's you could compare it to a play, right? You go see a play live.
Jim likes plays.
He does.
I do like plays. Yeah. I like musicals better than plays.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's move on. Should the Seahawks be rooting for the 49ers this week? They're going up against the Rams. And I think we all have determined the Rams are the biggest competition in this division for the Seattle Seahawks as it sits right now because the 49ers are injured beyond belief at this point. You've got the Cardinals who look like they can be good. They're 3-2, but the Rams are 4-1. Niners are 2-3. You got to pull for the Niners, don't you?
Well, I mean, I hope that it ends in a tie. I hope. Here's what I hope. All of the players on both teams die after the game. Okay? I don't know why
that's
everybody
a little extreme.
Everybody gets so upset whenever I say that. One time I texted Jessamine
about Drew Brees.
Yeah,
right?
You were on that text.
Yeah, yeah.
Drew Brees
laughed,
hurt his thumb, and I said, I hope he dies because we're getting ready to play him next week. Just a joke.
She
Come
was
on.
Like, that's not cool, or that's
yeah.
a nice one.
Jeez, Wyman, that's harsh. I'm like, well.
Dark humor.
It's also a joke. No,
I'm laughing.
Yeah. The Rams definitely right now. Look, I look at this just in general, too. I mean, the Seahawks have matched up well against the 49ers. You know, they were, and I still like me rooting for the 49ers in the Super Bowl last year, but I just thought they were the best team in the league. The way they were coached, some of the, you know, performances that they were getting, their guys were playing so hard, and yet the Seahawks beat them in a, you know, overtime. You could say, okay, they were lucky. They didn't have a kicker down there and all that, but then, you know, they came within a foot of beating them and winning the NFC West Championship without Chris Carson or Will Dissly or Penny or any of their running backs. So they just match up well against them. And I think you see that in divisions. You know, like the Packers last year, the two, they never led, I think, the Detroit Lions until time expired in both of their games with the Lions. And the Lions were like, you know, 4-11-1 or some ridiculous thing, but they had a problem with the Lions. The Packers did. They just didn't match up well. The Seahawks don't match up very well against the Rams. I'm hoping that's going to be fixed because
no matter who's in uniform for the Rams, it's been years they've been that way before Goff.
Yeah, well, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just always problematic for them, regardless of how bad the Rams were.
Yeah. Remember the year was it here in 2004 maybe, where they were down like 18 points or 20 points and came back in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was a ridiculous. I'll have to look it up, but it was one of the first few post-game shows that I did, you know, in 2004, I think. And, yeah, it was just, it was, but, you know, this is different. These are different players and everything, but the way they run their offense, it's just been a little bit more difficult for the Seahawks to stop. So, you know, that was a pretty... They relied on a missed field goal last year to beat the Rams, and then they lost to them down there. So it's been, and then maybe the worst performance in the Pete Carroll era in 2017 when the Rams came up here and just destroyed the Seahawks.
So you're pulling for the Niners this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think the Rams are a way bigger threat.
Well, Jim, you're on board?
Yeah, I am on board. You look at it, and even however much you dislike the 49ers, and I kind of compare it to, and this is going to be hard for me to say, but if the Cougs are sitting there, of course you guys know I can compare everything to the Cougs. If they're sitting there needing a victory by Washington so that the Cougs win the Pac-12 North, I would reluctantly kind of secretly be pulling for the purple and the gold in that game, I think. And it's the same thing here, similar anyway, where you look at the 49ers being 2-3 at this point, and I think the assumption a couple of weeks ago was, well, when they get everybody back, they're going to be the same old 49ers. Well, number one, they still have that Super Bowl hangover to deal with that never works out very well for the teams the following year. And number two, we saw what Garoppolo looked like coming back, and whether it had to do with his high ankle sprain or whether he's just not very good and is coming back to what he is as a quarterback, whatever the case might be, do you look at the 49ers and think to yourself, boy, even when they do get healthy, they're going to be any better than an 8-8 team at this point? I don't. I just see them, especially they've got a rugged schedule coming up even after this Rams game, and they're going to be fortunate, I think, to finish 500, and 500's not going to win the division with the Seahawks sitting there at 5-0. So would you rather have the Rams being 4-2 after this game, or 5-1 and only a half game behind the Seahawks?
4-2.
I'd rather have some more breathing room.
Yes.
And you can make a case just like Adam Rank from NFL.com did today. It's one of the lead stories on their website. He thinks the Rams are the NFC's best team. And you kind of go, well, wait a minute. They're not undefeated. The Seahawks and Packers are. But he pointed out how good their defense is, and their offense isn't bad either. Statistically, the Rams are better than both the Packers and the Seahawks. So I don't want, and Dave talks about how tough it is to match up with the Rams. So I want some breathing room there. So yep. I say go 49ers.
Yep. Well, I think we're all in agreement. Go Niners. All right. Coming up, since the players can't travel for the bye week, it seems that everyone is doing podcasts. We'll hear from Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, and Greg Olson when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
I don't play fantasy football directly. I indirectly participate in fantasy football because both my sons play it, and they're 9 and 8. So, in essence, I'm in charge of making sure that their roster is updated, that they're not starting somebody who's on IR, you know, all of those things. So I indirectly participate in fantasy. I was always very anti-fantasy football because I feel like it made people, like, hate me. Like, we would win, I'd be feeling happy on a Monday, and then, like, you run into somebody at the store and you only had two catches, and they're like, Olsen, you killed me on fantasy. If you would have only caught that last pass, or if you only would have, you know, not got tackled, or, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, random stranger in the parking lot, but, like, I'm not overly concerned about your fantasy team. But now, being on the other end of it and seeing my kids, like, on a Monday night football praying that Julio Jones gets 3 touchdowns, I'm like, I get it.
It's Greg Olson on his TE1 podcast talking about how he's had to warm up to fantasy football, and He had the same attitude I see a lot of players. I've seen players on Twitter, don't talk to me about your fantasy team. I don't care. You know, and because people take it so seriously, I could totally see somebody coming up to him and go, dude, if you'd come up with that final catch, man, I would have won my game or something like that. And these players are like, what do I care? I care about my team winning or losing. That's it.
I had Dory's old producer, this guy named Jake. I remember one time he was looking at, like, my, what's the video game? The Nintendo or whatever, the old football games that play.
Yeah.
He's like, your rating's like a 3.2. And he's like snarling his lip and looking at me like you suck. And I was like, well, I played for 9 years in the NFL. I don't really care what Nintendo has its rating for me.
Tecmo Bowl?
Tecmo Bowl. Thank you, Jim.
But I didn't know they had ratings on that.
Yeah, but I think you appreciate this story, Jim, because your boys are they into fantasy football? Are they doing that? I know they're
Yeah, you can, if you're a parent of kids who are playing, just like Greg Olson, I can relate to it because Stevie was already thinking, oh man, Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs, and he's got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and so he's worried about the carries that Edwards-Helaire is going to get now that Bell is there, and so. The thing is, if you're a player, I get it. I wouldn't be all that excited about it. I'd be like, leave me alone, fantasy football players. I don't want to hear from you. And yet, it's part of the reason the NFL is so popular, because so many people are playing.
Mm-hmm.
DK Metcalf here, Russ's little brother. I'm here to surprise him with Madden 99 clubs. Don't tell nobody. Don't surprise him. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, what up, champ?
Oh, man, how you doing?
DK just walked to the room.
What's up, bro?
Hey,
what you doing?
Oh, Madden 99 club. Yeah, okay.
About time to get your respect, right?
Hey, man, I hear you. What in the world? You just surprised me with this?
I know, man. I've just been outside.
Hey, Junior, come say what's up to Junior, man. We on the phone with the one and only King Griffey Jr. over here.
What's up, bro?
Hey, Junior, we just got the 99 club, man. DK just surprised me with this.
I'm a lot of gloves back there.
That is awesome, man. He said that's a lot of gloves back there. He's got more gloves. Hey, I appreciate you, bro.
There you go. DK Metcalf surprising Russell Wilson with the fact he's now a member of the Madden 99 Club, which I was not aware of. According to the Madden site, Morris got this for us. The Madden NFL 99 Club is a prestigious fraternity reserved only for the most elite players in the NFL. A 99 OVR is considered the Madden rating summit. It's the highest rating a player can achieve in the game. Russell was gifted a diamond 99 pendant. And last year, Bobby Wagner made it to the 99 Club and was gifted gold Nike cleats. Who would ever have thought that being rated in a video game would be such a prestigious thing?
Well, not Jim, apparently. I'm going to let you go first, Jim. What are your thoughts, Jim Moore?
Man, you've reached the pinnacle when you've gotten a 99 in a video game.
He gets a diamond pendant.
And the other thing, I mean, Russell talks differently to the media than he does to everybody else.
Yes, he does.
He's got it's like,
he's got some swag when he's talking to his guys.
No, I think, you know, honestly, if I was much younger and if I was into the Madden game, and I know what they're talking about, I see my kids playing it, and it's a fun game, but, man, you get a diamond pendant if you reach 99? I mean,
well, it sounds like it's different. He got a diamond 99 pendant, according to this, and last year Bobby Wagner made it to the 99 Club and was gifted gold Nike cleats.
Yeah, does everybody get something different?
I don't know, man.
Who else is in the club? How many
Another great
per
question.
Year do they?
Probably Aaron Rodgers, I would think.
I would think so. Yeah, the GOAT, TB12. You like that one, Jim. The GOAT, mm-hmm. TB12. We got TE1, TB12.
What about you guys? Are you guys video game player? Matt, Anders, do you guys play Madden?
C-Rodge
would know, yeah. Yeah,
Brent
My
Stecker.
Son plays, but not me.
You know, so you're not into all this 99 club stuff and all that?
Nah.
Yeah. All right.
Brent Stecker, I was telling him how I play a video game when I'm on the treadmill.
Yeah.
He goes, I play a video game when I'm on my couch. Yeah. I'm like, all right, man. Got to get you back in.
You won.
So what's your go-to dish? Your elite dish? What's the dish that you're going to? What's
my
you going
elite
for?
Dish?
Yeah.
Man,
your favorite. You got to have
my favorite food is Italian. So I'm always anything Italian is
pasta,
bread.
Garlic bread on the side,
pasta, all that.
Things I can't have during season.
Things you can't have during season, look, but you know
that 283 so, turned into 289 real quick with the pasta.
You can't have it, but I can have it during season.
I can have it too. Speak for yourself. You feel me?
Hey, I run a lot, but it, that Italian stick to the side.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with having a little meat on your bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, I go heavy. I'm already the heaviest end. Like ain't no ends in the league 290 no more. So anything over that, they try and slide you to that three technique, and I won't go.
That's why you set the edge.
I'm here to set the edge and get after the pass rusher. Except for Russell Wilson, apparently, because I don't think I have a career sack against him.
There you go. That's Bobby Wagner joining the Players Tribune podcast, Trust Levels, with Mark Ingram and Cam Jordan talking about favorite foods, Italian food, and trying to watch your weight during the season. I like that you said that. Italian sticks to the sides.
I like that Cam Jordan said, they're going to try to slide me inside. I won't go.
Yeah, three technique.
Yeah, into the three technique. It's, yeah, you devolve, right? You go upright as a defensive back, then you get a linebacker, you're kind of crouching.
Oh,
down,
yeah.
And then when you go down, you're on your all fours.
Hey, good for Bobby, though, with the Italian food there. I mean, that's my last meal. I want it to be Italian, too. I mean, I'm sitting there. I love gnocchi. Doesn't matter how you prepare it. And I will tell you right now, you know how I always talk smack about stuff? Like, I think I could beat Bobby in pool and, you know, guys in horse and all that
You're
kind of thing.
You're going to outcook somebody?
I'm going to outcook you. Vodka pasta. Let me tell you something. Of course, I ripped it off the internet there. Delish.com, vodka pasta. You got to try that. It's awesome.
You know, really gnocchi good. Is made out of potato, right?
It is.
Yeah, that can be either really good or really bad. If you don't know how to do it, it can be like sticky and, right?
End up poorly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Italian.
We're all in agreement once again. Go Niners, go Italian food. We're all on the same page.
And throw some prawns in there, Bob. What do you think of that?
I think not.
Yeah.
No. What, that's where you lost me.
No seafood for you?
No.
Yeah, Bob,
really?
Not a seafood guy at all.
It lives in the water. I'm out.
My wife's the same way, except for salmon.
I can't even do it. I've tried. Salmon. I've tried because it's good for you. It'd be a nice alternative, but I can't get past the texture or the smell.
Really?
Yeah.
Scallops?
I've tried it all, Jim. I promise. Outside of sardines.
I'm with you on oysters, but everything else?
Tried oysters. I've tried different sushi. I've eaten shark. I've eaten, you name it. I've tried it, except for sardines.
Here's the difference between.
And I don't think I need to try those.
Between me and my former co-hosts, because I hate onions. Mm-hmm. And they'll just sit there and go, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, why don't you like them? How come you're a baby? You know? And I'm just going to say, okay, Bob, I respect you don't like seafood. Okay, fine.
Yeah. That's the adult way to approach it.
Yeah, it is. Unlike
you're
Danny,
a baby.
Danny and Jess.
You're a baby because you don't like onions. All right, coming up, how can the Seahawks improve defensively coming off the bye week? We'll ask Paul Moyer. He's got all the answers, and he's going to join us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.